The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. I'm Jay Hursko. My co-host with me this evening is Andrew Leff. Say hello, Andrew.
Hello, Andrew.
And tonight, our very special guest is Jürgen Apello. And Jürgen, thank you so much for joining us. I believe it's like 1 or 2 a.m. your time. So I guess we got you out of bed fairly early.
It is at 2 o'clock in the night or in the morning? I don't know how that counts.
So for our listeners, Jürgen's going to be joining us to talk about a bunch of different stuff, but specifically, we'd like to concentrate on Agile Scales. So if any of our listeners aren't familiar, if you're looking to help your organization innovate at scale, if you're looking to help people build Agile mindsets, Agile Scales is a platform powered by gamification behavioral economics, which helps change agents find and use proven context-rich practices within their teams and organizations. Its purpose is to help organizations achieve agility at scale with measurable evidence of organizational transformations. So if you're looking to solve problems at work, if you're looking to improve team performance, grow organizational fitness, and achieve agility all at scale, you can do it through fun and games. So Jürgen, did I pretty much do the nice summary sales pitch? What did I miss?
Yeah, I think that's about it. It's Agility Skills is the name. Well, that's the marketing part. So maybe we can talk about the serious stuff.
All right. Well, the floor is all yours, Jürgen.
All right. So, so maybe some people know me as someone who travels around the world, quite a bit, giving keynotes at companies and organizations and conferences. I noticed the need for scaling agile. This is an obvious thing. Once you talk with people, they know how to do things at the team level, at least they think they do. then they struggle with how does that work at an organizational level? How can we be more agile with HR, with departments, marketing, etc. Then we have a number of frameworks that try to offer solutions, and the well-known suspects are the Scaled Agile Framework, of course, and LESS, and then there's alternatives such as Holacracy, focusing more on organizational structure. And one thing that I noticed is that basically everyone's complaining. Everyone is complaining about implementing frameworks. So I thought we have to come up with something that makes those frameworks more effective, less complaining, and more success. It's all about behavioral change ultimately, right? It's trying to get people to adopt new behaviors in organizations, the way they run their departments and the way they run their teams. And when I look at myself, how I have changed my behaviors in the last couple of years, I think that most of it has got to do with devices and platforms behind them, such as I use Spotify for music, I use Netflix to watch TV, I use Waze for navigating around traffic, I have an app for cooking, etc. And all of those have enabled me to change my behaviors. I have devices for running, for working out. So I thought, isn't that the paradigm that we should use in order to get agile ideas to people? Maybe we should have an app with a platform full of agile practices, suggestions that gets the suggestions to the right people in the right moment. So that was the starting point, that idea. Maybe we should build a platform, and we have started building that to have since half a year, and we now have a minimal viable product. That's been validated. People are paying, actually. The first clients have signed up, so it's really exciting. And the app itself is called Mind Settlers. It's about the mindset of people that we're trying to address, trying to change. So now we are trying to scale it up, turn a minimal viable product into a maximally valuable product, as I say. That's another kind of MVP. So that's the big story at this point in my life, at least.
I think the thing that I noticed first, which I can honestly say I have not noticed with any other gratuitous air quotes here framework, is you actually call out the fact that it should be fun and it should be a learning experience. So I've done SAFE multiple times. I'm in my second SAFE organizations. I know Andrew has done it as well. And most of the times you end up, someone comes around the corner with the big picture, the placemat, and they drop it on your desk and they say, here's what's going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here's the process, blah, 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 blah. There's never any mention of the cultural aspect of an agile transformation. And by trying to make it fun, I would think, I mean, this is almost a gimme to me. I would think you would probably get more adhesion, get more buy-in from people if it's not looked at as a chore or a task to do, but almost the way you're treating it or you're billing it is, it's almost like a growth and development opportunity with Agile as at its core.
Yeah, I agree, and it is true that some of those frameworks address the cultural aspect, which is important. But then in a way that bores the hell out of everyone. I mean, what's the fun in looking at a diagram on a PowerPoint slide full of boxes and squares and arrows? And I mean, fun could be there somewhere on the slide, but shouldn't it be part of the way that you bring the ideas to people? So I often tell the story of me being in the U.S. last year when I was promoting my last book, Managing for Happiness, and I was in New York reading a book at Union Square, and there were lots of people around me from all over the world, different languages and hairstyles and body types and whatever, but everyone was playing Pokemon Go at that moment. It was insane. It was the height of the hype at this point. And I was looking around me, I thought, what is going on? The world has gone insane. And at the same time, I thought, we're having it all backwards in the Agile community. We're spending years trying to convince 1,000 people to change their behaviors, and it's so hard, and everyone is resisting change, quote unquote. And then within 3 weeks, millions of people play Pokemon Go. I thought, this is unfair. But it taught me something. It taught me that what we do is, for most people, not fun. It's not interesting. We're not chasing monsters. We're not building up experience points or whatever it is. So we should focus more on that.
To add to what Jay said, SAFE does account for the cultural change, where I think it falls short as it's very thin. It doesn't focus on it enough. So it's almost an assumption, and organizations that would be the follow-up to sort of where Jay was going in my head is, how do you start the revolution within the organization to accommodate, to focus on actually wanting to address sort of that point of view without looking for the silver bullet that, hey, we just bought Agile, so let's check that off the box because we're that now. We're going to do Agile, but we're really not going to be Agile.
Sure. Well, we can look at fitness trackers as a nice metaphor, a nice example. They try to help us change our behaviors and lead healthier lifestyles. And they do that in lots of different ways because people are wired in different ways. So a friend of mine, for example, loves competing against others in her town, and knowing that she's the second fastest or the third fastest runner in the park, climbing up on the leaderboard, and that's fun for her. There are other people who love running routes in such a way that they draw nice patterns in silly pictures on the map, and then post them on the Facebook and Instagram. There are others such as me who like running in different cities all the time because I travel so much. So I sort of collect the cities in my app so that I have done at least one run in every European city. and that's so that's different things, but the app enables everything. And for some people, there's socialization, encouraging others, encouraging friends, and setting targets for each other. I don't like that. I ignore all the invites for friends on that platform because that doesn't interest me. I'm competing against myself, for example. So the idea is that there is a wide range of possibilities for a platform to motivate someone to start running and to keep running and to continue working out. It's just it's different things per person. So translating that to an organization, there is not one way to motivate a person. They will be motivated by different things. And for some people, it will be the social dimension. For some people, it will be something competitive. For others, it will be looking at the data and seeing nice pictures. And for others, it will be a building up a reputation and a profile and an avatar and et cetera. All of these are possible, and gamification theory that I've researched shows all of these and more as possibilities. And that's something to look into when we offer this to customers.
Interesting. And when you talk about sort of gamifying the scaling of an organization, and I know every organization is different, but is there a particular way that you sort of spark that thought process? Because at larger organizations, fun usually doesn't enter into the equation, right? So they're not focused on fun. They're focused on metrics and numbers and dollars and whatever else, you know, you can fit into an Excel spreadsheet. So is there an approach that you prefer to use? Is there a way, you know, I know the app sort of world, and I come from the mobile space, so it's very interesting to me to think more in app-centric and sort of this mobile ecosystem that's not just tied to a phone. So I'd be curious to hear sort of if you have an approach or thoughts on an approach.
Oh, that's a good question. So indeed, I have been working for 7 years on a couple of books and collecting good practices from around the world, because I've always been honest that 9 out of 10 things that I offer in my books is just collected from organizations that have applied them, and they seem to make sense, those ideas, and then I popularized them. A few things I made up and created myself, such as delegation poker or moving motivators, and those are popular practices too. But all of the ideas, all the time, they struggle with implementation, basically, or getting adopted everywhere. It is a familiar pattern for many trainers. People come to your class, your workshop. They're all enthusiastic, but at the end of the second day, people say, "Oh, it's so bad that I go back to my organization now because you know nothing will happen," and that's so demotivating. That's a pity. And as an author and speaker, that is sometimes demotivating as well. You know what organizations should be doing, but there's so little progress. And when I speak to both managers and employees, everyone admits that there has to be more innovation. There has to be faster adoption of new practices. But and we get back to the culture and back to the ingrained practices, etc. It is hard to adopt the ideas. So that's why I switched tracks, basically. And instead of collecting more great ideas to show on PowerPoint slides and in workshops, I thought, okay, we have enough ideas now. Maybe we should get better at actually getting those ideas adopted in the first place. Because the mountain of ideas is just piling up, and very few people are actually moving forward with them.
In case our listeners aren't aware, you were the creator of Management 3.0. You wrote the book Managing for Happiness, which, by the way, is one of the few books that I've come across in my career that if I could force people to read it at gunpoint, I would. Because I don't understand how people could call themselves leaders and not get some of the baseline behaviors that you call out in that book. It's just totally bizarre to me. But how did those two activities lead them to where you ended up with Agility Scales?
Yeah, I think the main issue is that all of us, including yours truly, have a lot of domain expertise with the teams that we have worked with ourselves, Many of us know a lot about software development or project management, etc. But very, very few of us are versed in psychology and sociology and organizational change. That is an entirely different topic. So we know what should be happening as agile coaches and consultants, but influence and persuasion are entirely different topics that have their own literature and their own science behind it. And some things have emerged in the last couple of years or decades. Behavioral economics is a nice example, where economists have realized that people are not rational. They are irrational people making emotional or illogical decisions. And we have to take that into account. And that's the same in organizations. People do things for completely illogical reasons. But that is the starting point, understanding why things are the way they are and how ideas get adopted. There's so much to learn in that space. And that is how I came up with gamification and habit forming as another angle. How do habits, new behaviors get ingrained in a person's daily work-life patterns? There's so much to learn there, and I think that is an area of focus that has been underdressed in the agile community in the last decade.
Also a fan, I heavily try and stay involved in some of the other efforts around Happy Melly, and I pull a lot of collective information from your work and the work that the community has done that you've sort of inspired. Do you believe that that's another angle of how you're getting the adoption to spread is influencing other coaches, trainers, and other individuals to also think a little bit differently and not just sort of read the PowerPoint presentation?
Well, I don't know. I would love to figure this out. This is why I started a different project, because the ideas that I had so far do not address that. But I do know that many of us would like to run a marathon within 4 weeks. And for most, that is beyond our grasp. We have to learn how to develop habits that make us better runners, and that means better body posture, and then developing the habit of going out for a run a couple of times per week, and then building up stamina, etc. And then hopefully after some time, you will be able to run a marathon. But for some people, that is indeed after a month. For most, it's going to take a year, perhaps. This is a nice metaphor, I think, for what organizations need to do. The main trick for now, for me, is how do I get those people to run, metaphorically? How do I get them out of the beds and put on the running shoes and start running? Because they want to run a marathon, but they're only talking about project plans of winning the marathon, but nobody's actually doing any running. So that is the main focus area for me, how to develop those behaviors. And once I have figured that out with my team, when we can show progress, then it should be possible to address the time scale. And still, I think it is impossible to just tell any organization it's going to take this amount of time to have this organizational change in place. Because, as I sometimes say, it is like migrating a village out of a forest that is on fire. Some people ask me, how long does it take to get the entire village to a safe place? And I say, well, I don't know. It depends on where the fire is, how big your village is, how big the forest is, and how fast people are prepared to walk. So many arrivals.
So you said something that I find very interesting and struggle with in my day-to-day work life around sort of irrational decisions. And so how do you propose when going into an organization, or how do you sort of navigate through the conversation to get them to think a little bit differently when the request is, hey, we want the whole organization to scale and we want to be agile, you know, within 4 weeks, right? So basically, here's your 10-speed bicycle, go win the Indy 500. How do you level set to show that, you know, and create that timeline that a lot of times we're put in a position to have to do to show how change is measured and how fast you can invoke change.
I do think that if someone asks you how long does it take, it makes more sense to tell them, well, why don't you get started for a couple of weeks and then we see what your velocity of change is, and then I have a more accurate picture of how long it is going to take. But I can't say without you getting out of bed and start running.
I absolutely love the analogies, and I love the running aspect of it. It makes it real and sort of gives it a human component where, you know, you have to condition and train, and training meaning you have to, you know, go through the, understand what you're doing to achieve a certain goal. So it's interesting to hear how you phrase that so simply, but yet so effectively. So I may have to borrow that from you, but I'll give you credit.
So back to agility scales. One of the things that I was thinking of as I was reading some of the paperwork and some of the website, some of the blog posts about it, was I remember coming across an article where it said that your company should not use Spotify or use the Spotify method. And it went into a comparison of the culture and the working culture in Stockholm versus for example, the author was in America. So he talked about the differences of even personalities and culture in Stockholm versus places like Silicon Valley or New York. And the point he was trying to make in the article was just because it works for one place doesn't mean it will work somewhere else. And this is true of almost any framework. But then when you look at something like this, which is based, again, I keep coming back to it, it's based upon fun and learning. Those are things that transcend almost any corporate culture. They transcend any geographically, you know, tribal culture. It's things that almost anybody can understand, that I'm learning to make myself better, to make this change, but I'm having fun while doing it. And those three letters really keep resonating with me, because it's not something you hear mentioned in the course of daily work. Work is supposed to be work, you know, back to the mind we go. And it, just the idea of adding a grin and experimentation and fun with it just makes it all more resonate with me.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned Spotify, because I refer to them in two different ways. First of all, they have the famous Spotify model that everyone and their mother seems to be trying to implement around the world, except Spotify themselves. They don't do this because we're not doing it either. That's fascinating, but they have some good suggestions in that model for other people to be inspired by. But they keep emphasizing, and I agree with that every organization is different, indeed. So every company basically should come up with their own model. But how do you do that? Well, you have to be inspired by what other people do, and that is where frameworks come in, because there are lots of good suggestions in SAFe or Nexus or Less or whatever. You just shouldn't see them as fixed, rigid templates for things to implement, as if it is an entire backlog that you have to deplete before the end of the year or something. In that sense, the other way of referring to Spotify is as a platform, as a metaphor, and you could just as well use YouTube or Netflix or whatever, all those platforms. Those are used by many people around the world. I sometimes ask people during my keynotes, how many of you have resisted the change of smartphones? And then nobody raises their hands, or maybe one person out of 500. So I tell, okay, so let's establish that a change is possible. Everyone has adopted that change of smartphones. Why? Because they're fun, enjoyable, and convenient. They make our lives better. But everyone uses them in completely different ways. We all have different sets of apps that are our favorites. That is the kind of thinking that I want with our solution, with our app as an option.
So let me ask you this, Jürgen. Speaking of the solution, you're doing this differently than I've ever seen it done before, in the sense that you're actually offering up the ability for people to invest in this framework. I think you're currently running a campaign right now. Can you give our listeners a little bit more information about that?
Sure, happy to. First of all, we are still onboarding the first clients, which is awesome, but already a lot of development has taken place and I have invested in that myself. But my money is running out before the end of the year. I need more funding with the team. And we thought it makes a lot of sense to have our fans, our followers and readers become co-owners of the company. So this is called crowdfunding. There's two versions of that. There's product crowdfunding and equity crowdfunding and product crowdfunding. Crowdfunding is usually done on Kickstarter or Indiegogo. And then you fund the product. In this case, you fund a company. So what is actually happening is we sell shares of equity in the organization on Cedars, which is a crowdfunding platform for the people living in Europe, but those outside of Europe can also invest. Only we have a foundation to handle that. That's just details. But anyone in the world can basically become a co-owner, buy shares in the company. And so far, so good. The campaign is running until the end of December. We're slightly ahead of schedule, which is awesome. But still a lot more to do. And I like it from a theoretical, philosophical viewpoint. I like the crowd being the owner of the company. That makes me feel good if the agile is behind it, or at least a part of it. But on the other hand, there's also a very practical angle, which is that all those people, even if they only invested 100 euros or 1,000 or something, they bring their own networks. They have their own customers, their own organization. They want us to be a success because they have invested in it. So hopefully we can use some of those people's networks and all of us can then help the company be successful at that, bringing this new way of agile platform rather than agile framework to people.
That's fantastic. I mean, if you've ever read any of Nassim Taleb stuff, he has a book coming out where he actually talks about this whole idea, the idea of skin in the game, and how people, when they have something invested and they have something to lose, they're usually more involved and they make better decisions, which is it sums it up in a nutshell, right? Like if I'm bought in, I'm way more, I'm knee deep at that point with helping succeed, and you'll get better results out of people, which is, it's fantastic. I think, Andrew, that about does it for me and my questions. Do you have anything else?
The one thing that I've, you know, heard and sort of through my experience is really the psychological aspect of how to make all this work and providing a good avenue to sort of walk down, like the framework, air quotes, sort of point of view. And it's really great to hear someone that, again, Jürgen, and I appreciate your time around focusing on that psychological aspect. And have you spent, do you feel that you've spent a lot of time doing more of the psychological research into how to humanize the corporate enterprises of the world? Or do you feel it's just been one big experiment to the next in seeing what works and what doesn't? Do you find that there's any theme with any of that?
Well, I think we move from one experiment to the other with this project, because I haven't seen anyone doing something like this within the Agile community, which is why it interests me in the first place, of course, because I like doing new things. Every week we come up with new ideas. Like just this week, we started with a quest, as we call it, the first quest, which is getting part of the community involved in a taxonomy that we're going to use in the app. Because all those guides and practices, they have to be organized in some way. There's terminology that we need to agree on. Well, it would be nice to have a discussion about that with the community itself. What is mentoring versus coaching? What is management versus leadership? Agile versus lean, etc. Can we draw that as a taxonomy? So that we can order all the practices in a way that most people are able to agree with, that there's some level of consensus. We call that a quest intentionally, because that gamifies itself a little bit, and people can earn credits by participating in that, self-organizing, and then delivering a result towards a deadline. And that's just one of the many things that we come up with. The whole app itself is a gamified environment with more interesting looking pictures than we usually get through frameworks. But I keep pointing out that I'm not trying to attack frameworks or discard them. I think they're full of good ideas. It's just that they have been offered in a rather traditional sense with PowerPoints beamed at people. Well, I think we should change that. And the example that I often use is that of YouTube channels. There are many, many channels on YouTube, and as a user of YouTube, I can pick and choose which videos to watch from which channel. So I basically want every framework to be turned into a channel, as if it is a video station with good practices. But it is up to the users of the platform to decide, I want this from Safe, I want this from Less, I want these practices for Alacrity. And if one of them is successful, then I might try more practices from the same channel. Like watch more videos from a channel on YouTube once I get addicted to one of them. That is the paradigm in which I want to force, quote unquote, those frameworks, because this is the way people consume information nowadays on smartphones and tablets. We all use platforms. We make our own playlists, friending and sharing of our collections, etc. This is what we're used to. So why not offer agile practices in exactly the same way?
Wow, it's great. I have to say that this definitely, as a coach and consultant, it's to me it's just great to hear, looking at the world in the current times and looking ahead and trying to bring that into how we work differently. So awesome work.
Thank you. It's fun because early this year I did research into all the trends reports from Deloitte and Accenture and PricewaterhouseCoopers and all those big names. They all have their annual or biannual trend reports, and turned that into a big list of 13 trends that are happening worldwide. And if I match those with what we were doing, I could basically tick off almost all of them. I was surfing 11 of the 13 waves, basically, with my new idea. So, as some people have said, this makes total sense. It is odd that nobody was already doing this in hindsight. The only thing that could fail is my execution. I don't know if I'm the right person to do this. I don't know if my team is the right team to do this, but we're willing to give it a try. And just lead by example. And if we fail, well, maybe somebody else will pick up the shambles and move where we fail. But this is the way to go, I'm quite sure.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Jürgen. I want to be conscious of the time. So we'll wrap it up. Do you have anything you want to plug? Any upcoming speaking engagements? I know you said you have your campaign still running till the end of the month. What are the best ways for people to reach you to find out more information if this sounds like something they'd be interested in?
Well, everyone can go to agilityscales.com. That is our main website. And they can sign up there, get access to the app for free for a short time until it is time to start paying. There will be a free version next year, but right now it's paid only as a test, because we want to test that people are actually willing to pay for something like that, which is an important test. And they can also find more information about the crowdfunding. If this is an idea that you think should happen, that this is the way forward for the Agile community, you can become owner of the idea, co-owner together with me and hundreds of others, and invest a little bit, and that would help us survive for a few days longer.
Awesome. Andrew, anything you need to plug?
No. I'll leave the AU plugs up to you, Jay. You can close it out.
All right. Well, Jürgen, I want to, on behalf of Andrew, myself, and all of our listeners, I want to thank you for getting up early and calling in. I think this has been an awesome conversation for us, and I'm hoping we help you drive up some interest, because this sounds like something that all of us should be interested in, and everyone in the community should be cheering for your success. So thank you again for your time. I also want to thank our listeners for hanging with us again. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a review or rating or leave a comment on iTunes. It does help. If not just iTunes, Stitcher, Blueberry, whatever you use, it does help. It helps new users find us, which we appreciate it. And I also want to invite everyone to get involved in the conversation. You can find me on Twitter. You can find Andrew on Twitter. We have coalition.agileuprising.com, which is our open board site. Well, that was nice. We'll have to take that out post.
No worries.
So yeah, you can find us all on the Agile Uprising, and we appreciate your listeners. Jürgen, once again, thank you very much. And until next time, this is the Agile Uprising signing off.